scripture tells us, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to God. Of our salvation, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King of all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. In his hands form the dry land. So, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Thank you. here this morning. And I want you to know I got kind of a sore arm today. Throwing all that candy out of the boat on the parade yesterday. But it was the first time for me to be in a parade like that. And it was very interesting to see all the kids that are in this town along the parade route. And I even saw Trey out there. And Keyshawn, where is he at? He's not here. But when I saw Trey out there, I'm going like, you're too old to be out there getting candy. But he smiled and said, throw me home. So it's good to have me here today. Got a couple of announcements. I'll get to the announcements, but I do have some people that want to make some announcements today. Karen Dawkins got three quick announcements she would like to make. She said they're quicker than what I do.
Number one, we've got a sign-up sheet back there you've seen in your bulletin for treats after church. If we have treats, that's fine. If we don't, we'll just have coffee, but if you're willing to bring a cookie or a bar on a Sunday morning, please sign up. It's on the refrigerator. Another list, I'm the queen of the list. We'd like to have some greeters on Sunday mornings. We'd like to have either a couple, it doesn't have to be a married couple. If you've got a friend, grab a friend for greeters on Sunday mornings out there. Then I want to put a big plug in. Tonight at the Tabernacle at the conference is the Collinsworth family. They're absolutely wonderful. They start at 6 o'clock. I would advise being there by at least 5:15 or 5:30. $25 charge because it's not associated with the conference. It's a prelude to the conference, but it's the best $25 you'll ever spend. They're absolutely fabulous. They were here about 3 years ago at the conference. And the conference starts next Saturday night. With the Selah and the skid guys, and they're really good, according to Pat. I have seen them, absolutely. And it goes all week. The morning session start at 9 to 10 for a Bible hour, and then at 10:30, they divide up into sections, and you would learn a lot. You have about 5 choices of different things to study, and it's all free. And every night there's a good speaker or some good music. So please put that into your calendar. I think you would enjoy it immensely. Thank you. See how short it was?
Thank you, Karen. Joe Simonton's got some friends with him today. He'd like to introduce them to him.
We were a licensed foster care family in 1982. Don came to live with us, and he lived there 4.5 years. Some of you will remember this. He now is in Houston. His wife, June, is with us, and his daughter, Marianne, and Joseph, son Joseph, are with us. His best friend, Anthony, and Lynn, and their son, Nick, are with us. And on the end, clear on the end myself, is Derek. Derek has worked for Tom, or with Tom, for 15 years in his restaurant. And Tom considers Derek to be part of his family as we consider Tom to be part of our family. And I'm glad that they could come to church with us this morning and experience this occasion. So anyway, we'll probably be around a little bit afterwards if somebody wants to introduce yourself. Talk to them, humor them a little bit. That would be great.
Thank you so much. Welcome. Make sure you get some Iowa sweet corn before you leave, before you go head back to Houston, Texas. I just want to remind you a little bit about the prayer requests that are in the bulletin today. Just little updates. I don't know if the Evels are here. They are here. How is Tammy?
They're home right now.
Okay.
It's a day-to-day thing.
Okay. All right. Day by day. We do have Elmer. I just talked to him earlier today. He just doesn't have any results back from taking a lab test, so things are just wait until he hears anything. All he knows is that the cancer that he has not spread. And so he's kind of, both him and Norma are on a new journey with all that kind of stuff. It kind of dictates what you do from day to day, doesn't it? And then my wife is here today. I didn't expect her to be here, but she is here, recovering well from her surgery. Sharon, where are you? Oh, you're way back. You move around, yeah. And then just pray for Jim Tackett, who's going to have a total hip replacement here in August coming up. That will be Charlie Hurdle's, is it right?
She's right there, huh? Yeah.
It's called Charlie. That'd be her son that is going to be having that hip replacement. So just want you to realize that, you know, we're decorated back there for the day camp for the kids that's coming up in August. And I just want to thank Mary Ann Seifert for kind of putting it all together and the help that she had. Could not have been done without the good help that we see taking place back there. So that'll be set up until after day camp. And I told her that, hey, it can be up there for a long time, so just get used to it, but don't destroy anything. It's for the kids. Really, really happy with that, how that all turned out. And just also let you know that the Wednesday night fellowship that we had last Wednesday night was really, was well attended, and a good speaker, and just want to thank everybody for coming and eating and bringing the good goodies that go along with the main dish, and we appreciate it. Appreciate that and look forward to having that every month on the third Wednesday of every month as we go along this year. So thank you for being a part of that. That's open to anybody and everybody on Wednesday, the third Wednesday night of the month. I know that Riker Ballas was here. He was a confirmation student. That he came for supper because he loves the suppers here. You're good folks when it comes to making good food. And he was also in the boat yesterday, and I realized that Riker is very popular. People were yelling from the sidelines off the street, "Hey, Riker!" And I go like, "Riker, you're pretty popular around here." He goes, "I know it." So he had a lot of fun. I'm glad he came and helped with throwing on candy as well. So that's all the announcements I'm going to make you. Oh, other than this is Bev Nappy's last Sunday with us. Oh. You know, but she'd be going to Sibley, her husband is Pastor Tim, who will be doing a new work in Sibley with a church there, and that's where they'll be moving. That's not too far away.
30 miles. You'll probably see me from time to time.
we'll miss the guitar. So anybody else that knows how to play guitar, we'll recruit you. Trey, can you play guitar?
No.
Are you sure? I think you'll start taking lessons tomorrow. And we'll see you next time.
I do give lessons.
There you go. All right, let's all take care of it. Thank you, Lord. We'll just turn it back to you, Bob, and the praise band. Lead us in worship.
Thank you.
that there's going to be a video that's going to kind of begin what Cheryl Meyer is going to share following this video here this morning. And so let's start.
Large print notes, and when I tried to shorten it, I ended up with 15. I just stopped right there. My only disclaimer is that I feel my tear ducts are a little too close to the top, and occasionally my bucket of joy tears overflows. So Bob is covering me with that. So if he suddenly breaks out in song, it's because I need a moment. So we're all good. I like when Pastor Tim titles his sermons. I like to guess where he's going to take us on that day. So here's my title: Heavenly Burdened or Heavenly Blessed. The choice is yours. 1 year ago yesterday, July 24, 2020, Walt was diagnosed with AML, acute myeloid leukemia. I'm going to back up just a few weeks because our story actually starts right here at Harbor of Joy. A year ago, the guys were taking turns mowing the grass, and it happened to be Walt's week to mow. So on the 29th of May, he was down here mowing grass. About a week after he left home, he called and he said that he did not feel very good. He was having some shortness of breath and he had lost his color vision. He didn't want me to come and pick him up. I said, well, go in the church, Charlie's there, drink some water, get cooled off, and call me. About 2 hours later, he came home and he still did not feel good. He drank something, he ate, he took a nice long nap, and about 4 o'clock that afternoon, he felt better. So I thought we were good. 3 days later, he has the same symptoms. This time, we went to the doctor, they ran some tests, they did some extra blood work, and they didn't find anything that looked really serious. 3 days later, his local physician called and said, I think you have leukemia. In the following weeks, he sent us down to Dr. Preston in Spencer, and July 5th, he had his first bone marrow biopsy. July 22nd, the results were back, and on July 24th, we were at Sioux Falls Prairie Cancer Center, and we met a doctor by the name of Dr. Kelly McCall, and he was a blood specialist. He was knowledgeable, he was positive, and he was passionate about his work and what he knew about his work. He explained how bone marrow is supposed to work. 39.2% of Walt's white cells in his bone marrow were cancer. Immature cells grow faster and live longer than healthy cells, and without being treated, they eventually smother the healthy red cells and platelets. Because of Walt's age, bone marrow biopsy was out, radiation was out, so the best option was medication. Dr. McCall said he had a drug that he'd been using for 17 years. It was called Vidaza. He would have infusions 7 times every 28 days, and he would have that for the rest of his life or until it no longer worked. The last option he gave us was hospice. He said, if you choose not to use the medication, we will talk hospice because you will not survive very long. Walt's response was, well, I want to live another 20 years. Dr. McCall said, I don't know what an 80-year-old is gonna look like when I walk into the room for the first time. What he saw that day was a man full of hope and determination. He smiled at Walt and he said, well, we better get started then. Walt's choice to live and trust God gives us reason to celebrate. The very first day he had labs, he had his first doctor appointment, he had his first infusion. They put his port in, and when we left, we knew when and where the next 6 infusions would be and what time we needed to be there. By the way, this was right in the middle of COVID, and the first red flag, the vision loss, really had nothing to do with his AML. But it got us here today. Was it a coincidence? Was it luck? I don't think so. Luke 1, verse 37 says, with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Every 28 days, Walt would start his infusions in Sioux Falls, finish the last six in the outpatient in Spirit Lake. In August, when we arrived for his appointment, the doctor walked in and we could see he was troubled. The Vicodin was not working. He suggested that we add Venclexta, a pill, high-powered, good results, very expensive. So they sent us to the patient advocate office, and she told us that the copay for us would be $900 a month, that we could apply for a grant, and it would possibly pay for all or a portion of the copay. So, and it usually took about up to 2 weeks to find out where we stood on that. So it was like, okay, we can do that. The next call while we're sitting there is from the pharmacy. They have told us that doctor has prescribed not one pill per day, but four pills per day. And suddenly the copay was $3,704. Now, Walt and I have a lot in common, but Walt is a head thinker and I am a heart thinker. And occasionally we do collide. So he looked at me and his response was, we can't afford that. I got firecrackers going off in my head and I'm going, what? Are you crazy? It's like, did you not hear what the doctor said? You need this medicine. I'm not sure if it was the Holy Spirit that made me bite my tongue right at that moment, but instead what came out of my mouth was, what choice do we have? We applied for the grant, we purchased 2 weeks of Venclexta, and 8 days later, we found out our copay was going to be covered until August of 2023. In September, the Venclexta and the Vidaza was working. It was killing the cells, but it was killing the healthy cells too. He is now getting blood work done weekly and blood transfusions every 7 to 14 days. He was nauseated and he was exhausted. By October, he was really sick. October 17th, he was hospitalized in Spirit Lake with an infection of unknown origin. He was there for 19 days. We had absolutely amazing Spirit Lake Sioux Falls coordination of the doctors and the medicine that they gave him. Harbor of Joy, God bless in prayers, and God showed his mercy and grace. Walt got home from the hospital November 6th, and he was weak but much better. November 16th, he resumed the infusions back in Sioux Falls. We had a new doctor. His name was Dr. Vinod. He was a partner and a longtime friend of Dr. McCall. He was very calm, he was very smart, and he was very hopeful. Tried a new approach. We will continue to do the 7 infusions, but we will cut the Venclexta in half and see if it still will do its work. When we finished with that appointment, he asked if we had any questions. Walt had one. Is it okay if we go to Yuma this winter? Sure, go, he said. But you'll need a doctor down there, and Sioux Falls will send the paperwork. So within a couple days, I called the Yuma Cancer Center, and I told the young lady that we had a tentative plan to come to Yuma for the winter, and we wanted to transition Walt's care to the doctor there. I was a little nervous if we could pull that off without jeopardizing his health. When I finished, the lady asked me, would you like to set up an appointment today? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes I would. So, now keep in mind, we're in the middle of COVID, and I was just hoping that this phone call would give us some direction and some information. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe God has a plan. And I don't believe in luck. For me, luck is not stabbing myself with a sharp knife when I'm wrestling with 2 frozen pork chops. Anyway, at the end of the conversation, Walt had an appointment to meet Dr. Chandra on January 6th, and his treatments would start again on January 11th. December was very hectic. We saw Dr. Vinod again on the 14th of December, and he did another bone marrow biopsy. The initial report showed cells are now less than 1% in his marrow. Remember, they were 39.2% back in July. We could do nothing but praise God. Early December, Dr. Vanderlees wanted to take another picture of Walt's lung before leaving town. He had had a cloudy spot after his pneumonia. The cloudy spot had cleared up, but they found a tumor on his pituitary gland. The next scan, to figure out what to do about that, they discovered he had a little tumor in his brain and a possible metastatic lesion of his left skull. The doctor asked if he's ever had any injuries on the left side of his head. Walt has had at least 5 ladder accidents in the 35 years that we have been married. And although he's never had any significant head trauma, he did break his leg and ankle in 10 places one time as he rode the ladder down. As talented as he is, he has not yet learned to defy gravity. Now it's the holiday season. After checking with several neurosurgeons, only one can deal with all three issues, and his first available appointment is February 18th. Okay. Christmas with the kids, medical records sent south, and we pulled into Yuma December 27th. We set up, the park was quiet because of COVID, there was plenty of sunshine, and we had to renew our friendships in the park. Here we are, 2021. Let's close the door on 2020. Romans 15, verse 3. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. January 6th, we met Dr. Chandra. He was wise and caring, and we really liked him. At the end of the appointment, he said to Walt, I like to be very transparent with my patients, and would you like to know a little bit more about your disease, how it typically progresses, and the long-term prognosis? Walt looked at me, and then he looked at the doctor, and he said, I don't need to know that. It's just a number. I'm going to fight this all the way. Good choice, Walt. That very afternoon, Dr. Vinod from Sioux Falls called and told us that he got the final report from the December bone marrow. It showed a cancer cell mutation that was very aggressive. Walt would quit taking the Venclexta, and he would start a targeted therapy drug called Rydap that would specifically target that particular cell. The copay for Rydap, $3,400. And Walt, this time, we filled out the grant application. Walt didn't even make a comment. We purchased the 1 month, and within 8 days, again, we got a call that our copay would be covered until December of 2021. Isaiah 45, verse 3 said, I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord. As scheduled, Walt started infusions January 11th. We enjoyed a month of sunshine and small group gatherings. February rolled around too fast. It was time to come back for that doctor appointment. February 9th, we left Yuma. It was sunny and 84 degrees. February 12th, we got home. It was sunny and minus 24. February 15th, Walt starts the next round of infusions. It's minus 28 degrees in Sioux Falls. February 18th, we met the neurosurgeon. He ordered a more detailed scan, and within a week, we were told that he wasn't concerned about the pituitary gland tumor, nor the one in his brain, but the one, the metastatic skull lesion on the left side of his head, was a concern, and he scheduled surgery for March 2nd. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. March 2nd, Walt has surgery. Surgery goes well, 1 night in the hospital, but the tumor is solid, So we did not get an initial biopsy to have an idea of what was going on in there, and we would have to wait for 2 weeks to get the final diagnosis. March 15th, Walt starts another round of infusions. Dr. Vinod did another bone marrow biopsy. He wanted to see if the RIDAP was working. No detectable cancer cells in the marrow. March 18th, we go to Sioux Falls. Walt has the stitches out, and it turns out the skull lesion was a tumor, but it was just a cluster of small blood vessels that attached to his skull. Everything was benign, everything was good. Above his left eye was a 4-inch incision, a visible proof of God's mercy and grace once again. Doctor says, do you have any questions? Well, once again, any reason why we can't go to Yuma? Walt finished his last infusion March 22nd. We packed up, and once again, we were back in Yuma by March 27th. April went great. We were back in Yuma. We had sunshine. We were there a month, and then we had to say our goodbyes, and we headed for Central and Northern California to see our family on the way home. May 5th, we get home. We are exhausted. We have done 2,800 miles in 9 days. And we thought just a little rest would be great. That was not going to happen. Between May 5th and May 20th, we attended a funeral, a wedding, 2 physician rechecks, Walt's week of infusions, 3 graduation parties, and 1 high school commencement ceremony for our twin grandsons. May 20th, Walt was admitted to the hospital in Spirit Lake, which turned out to be a mild case of COVID. 48 hours after he got there, his temp and oxygen levels were back to the normal range. He got to come home May 24th, needing nothing more than a daily afternoon nap. And I did my part by napping, so I wouldn't disturb him again. June, he's good. We did infusions, we did Father's Day barbecue, we did birthday parties, we did the Wednesday night fellowship, which I would strongly recommend. It is wonderful. And now we are back to July. Again, I go back to the song, today, tomorrow, and forever. The second verse says, you have been faithful, you have been kind to me. You hold my future in your hands. So when the world is shaking, the ground beneath my feet, you'll be the solid rock for which I stand. On the mountain and in the valley, in the calm and in the storm, today, tomorrow, and forever, I will live for you, and I will worship you. Today is truly a celebration. This disease has not made us weaker. It has made us stronger. When we felt weak, God gave us strength. You gave us hope through your love and your prayers. When we said, why me? Jesus said, why not you? I can do anything if you will have faith and trust in me. I will take your hand. I will never leave you alone because I have a plan for you. This past year has not been about us. It has been about God and how he can work through us. He set before us wise doctors, good medicine, perfect road conditions to travel, wonderful neighbors, and an attitude of gratitude. Every day may not be good, but there is good in every day. Walt and I are so thankful that God brought us to Harbor of Joy. He knew long before we did exactly what and who we were going to need in our life to survive our unforeseen hardships. Whether you have been a member of Harbor Joy for the past 11 years, whether you are visiting for the first time today or somewhere in between, we pray you will feel the love that Christ brings to this church and how he works through his people. Our circumstances do not dictate the truth of our reality. God does, the Word does. And as Linda Johnson has shared with us and many others here today, get on the Jesus bus. He has everything under control, and he knows exactly where we need to go. Thank you.
We can't begin to thank all of you for all the cards and prayers and little notes, letters. It's just been unbelievable. We just thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Well, you forgot something here, Cheryl.
Oh. Thank you.
I know Walter got to say that he had a lot of Blue Bunny ice cream. Well, now what do I do? Karen Dawkins, and I talked too long with announcements. But that was heartfelt. I want to thank you for sharing, because Lola put her up to this. This is something she wanted to do. And so I take no credit for that. But thank you, Cheryl and Walt, for sharing what God has done, and God is happy and pleased with what you've shared here today. I'm going to just make a really quick sermon here today, but I invite you to stand as we look at the text today. It goes along with what Cheryl talks about as well. It comes from Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Actually, 47 through 52. It says, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Heavenly Father, we just trust you with your word here today. Thank you for the testimony and for the storms that come to us in life, that we can trust in you. It is you who said the words, "Do not be afraid, it is I." May we remember that in our lives today and in the days ahead as well. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to remind everybody that storms are going to happen in your life. We don't know what they're going to be. We don't know when they're going to hurt, when they're going to hit, but they're going to happen. And oftentimes when there's a storm that takes place, it's just like the disciples out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. You know, they were straining and striving and trying to oar against, paddling against the wind. And if you've ever been in a boat going against the wind, it's not a really fun time to be out on the lake. It's not fun to be out on a lake when there's a storm, period. If you've been out when there's high winds, you know how big the rollers get, the waves get, and you're out there, you're going up and down, and you got Jesus who goes out there at 3 o'clock, in between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. That's the fourth watch. And we know the Sea of Galilee does not freeze, so he's walking on the water. It's not ice, like some of us around here get to walk on the water during the wintertime. But they're striving and they're getting played out. They're tired of going against the wind. And they see Jesus walking on the water. Imagine that. Now, you got rollers, that means, you know, the disciples are going to be going up in the boat, Jesus is probably going to die. And it's going to be that way because it says that all the disciples saw him at one point in time where they go like, yeah, that's somebody out there. They thought it was a ghost until they heard his voice telling them it is I. We find in John's account that it is Peter who says, can I come? I mean, what is he thinking? He's going to get out of the boat and walk on the water, and Jesus says to him, come. Now, Walt and Cheryl, you had to get out of the boat and to walk, focusing on Jesus. A lot of times the storms, when they come, it's at an inconvenient time in life. And they take their toll on us and they wear us out. But Jesus waits until we're ready to listen to him. When Jesus tells Peter to come out of the boat and walk to him, Peter does. You got to hand that to Peter. He walks on the water, but it's until he takes his eyes off of the Lord and he sees the wind and the waves that that's when he sinks. And he only has one thing to say. It's the quickest little prayer you've ever had to say, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches down, grabs him, they go back into the boat. And once Jesus gets into the boat, guess what happens to the storm? It subsides. It becomes calm. And I think you notice that in the testimony of Carol today, that in their storm, there came a calmness that was there along the way. Hard to describe, hard to understand, but it's there. It's because of the Lord who will do these kinds of things for us. I'm just going to close by saying, you know, when Jesus says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. He really means that for us every day. The disciples did not understand when he just had done the feeding of the 5,000. It was just 5,000 men. Of 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish, he fed over 5,000 people. The disciples didn't understand that. Kind of their unbelief hardened their hearts. But now they see him in a whole different scenario, in a boat, there's a storm, Jesus is there, it calms down, and they realize that he is who he is. He is the Son of God. They missed that when he came to the feeding of the 5,000. Have you missed that? You may have come to church many times throughout your life and still miss that Jesus is your Savior. Could it be that way today? Is Jesus your Savior? Truly. That's what's really important. Glad you're here at church. I hope you come because you're going to hear the truth of God's Word. Let God's Word get into your heart. Make a difference. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there are many storms of many different kinds that come into our lives, and many of them we don't understand why. Lord, there's a very rare bird out there that never questions you, that just says, you are with me, regardless of what happens. I'm trusting in you. Many of us, Lord, always say, why me? And so, Lord, we just thank you that your word allows us to see that there is always hope, even in times when we hear the C word, cancer. When we hear things that go against our lives because we know how much we want to live. And yet it is you who died on the cross for us that we may live eternally and spiritually. Thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. It gives us that hope because you are the victor over death, sin, and Satan. We have you to hold on to. It's not by our own strength that that happens, Lord. It's called faith. You are holding on to us stronger than we could ever hang on to you. But we trust you even in times when we are weak. Because when we are weak, that is when we find we are strong. But it's not our strength. It's who you are and what you are able to do. And so be with us today and the days ahead. Thank you for people who are willing to share what you have done and are doing in their lives. We need to hear this often. And so bless each one that is here today. May we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together, followed by the benediction today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you